Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
To a proud Mayo man, is there any other kind, says you, who Shot to Infamy is one of the Hardy books on the telly, which portrayed a kind of sophisticated group of young gentlemen of high aesthetic tastes navigating life in fictional small town Connacht that was clearly Swinford. Was Swinford, wasn't it?
Well, it was, yeah. It was an amalgamation of a few different towns, Oliver. It was kind of like...
This is Owen Colgan, by the way.
How's he doing it?
I don't know. He's going straight into an explanation. It was shot mostly in Swinford.
Shot mostly in Swinford. We did a bit in Castlebar as well, but the name Castletown, I think, comes from kind of amalgamating Castlebar and Charlestown together.
Always felt like a real place, Castletown.
Yeah, well, we were kind of like living the real life at the time. So we were method actors since we were about six.
Okay. Played heightened versions of yourself.
Heightened versions of ourselves.
Come here, locate your origins now on the continent of Mayo.
I'm in Bohola. You know that song, Three Pubs in Bohola?
Yeah,
It's a very famous song, but there's only two pubs there now, but there's also a post office, a shop, and a lovely cafe. So do pop in there if you get a chance.
Bohola, that's out by Westport, isn't it?
It's sort of like between Swinford and Ballyvarry. It's like a sweet spot, you know? I call it the sweet spot. It's like the Bermuda Triangle, because you get stuck there. It's such a nice place.
And you live around here, though, didn't you, for a while?
I lived in Dahuma Head there for lockdown.
It's that direction.
Which is kind of, yeah, exactly.
Just pointing towards Achill.
It's no good to me. But it's basically like across the bay, and I lived there for a year with my partner during lockdown, and it was the best place to live because it was lobster and poaching.
Because you would have doing the comedy and everything, you were in Dublin for a good while, were you?
I was in Dublin, yeah. But then obviously, you know, things got shut down. So myself and my partner decided we'll move west. And I was doing up the cottage at the time where my grandmother used to live. So we moved west, and we were living in Dahuma for that whole year.
While doing up the cottage?
While doing up the cottage. So I was doing laps, you know.
How far does it take to drive then from...
Well, see, it's so far even to get out here from Mayo. Like, Mayo's such a big county. But from Bohola to out here be about an hour and 10 minutes.
That's what you did this morning.
This morning was a bit more, about an hour and 25. So
was it?
That's what I'd be putting on the...
You were gawping over the
ditch. That's what I'd be putting on the petrol bill.
Okay, that's what you're saying. Lovely. So you're back in the village you grew up in.
I'm back in the village you grew up in, yeah. I'm literally next door to the house that I grew up in. So it's a nice thing, you know, because it's so familiar. But at the same time, when you're kind of on the phone and you're looking at all these people around the world, I'm like, I need to get out there again. So I'm getting a bit of a graw for getting out there again.
Yeah, that's only because you have the anchor now at home.
Exactly, yeah, the base.
The place,
you know,
to live in. Because a lot of Mayo people, they get out, they had to get out for generations, but coming back now at the minute.
Well, a lot of people are coming back. A lot of friends that moved to Australia and Canada and different places, they're all coming back, you know. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for knowing the place you're from, but it is good to get away as well. So it's nice to be able to mix up the two, I think.
Your Graw, your Cree, who you brought to the Dahuma here, is still together?
Still together, stronger than ever.
Where's she from?
She is from Argentina. Would you believe, actually, Oliver, she is from the same town that Christa Berg was born in.
I didn't know he was born in.
I forget the name of it, actually. It's called Tuleda or something like that, but that's the claim to fame, anyways, that they have there. That and the biggest swimming pool in the south of America.
Awesome. No wonder she's like delighted with Mayo.
She loves Mayo.
And Argentina and Mayo, they meet very nicely together.
They do, yeah, because you have Admiral Brown there in Foxford, who created the Argentinian Navy and thus helping the Argentinian team win the World Cup, in a sense.
Did he?
Well, because like they had more time to sort of play football. That's the way I see it. So there's a big connection between Foxford.
Don't do history tours.
No.
Unless it's flagged that you might be making some of this up. So are you familiar with Black Sod? Have you been out here?
I've been out here a few times, yeah. But I've actually never been to this lighthouse. But I do know a bit of the history about it, like the way that they kind of affected World War II and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've only been out here maybe once in my life.
What's going on in your life now then? You're in the cottage, but you're doing a lot of gardening, aren't you?
Doing a lot of gardening, I kind of do podcasts, I do streaming. I've got a few gigs coming up across the country. Like, I'm heading to Dublin next week for a gig at the Comedy Festival, heading down to Kerry then the week after. And I use Mayo as the base, but then I kind of shoot off in different directions.
You have a massive following online on Instagram.
Huge.
Over six digits. But you haven't done a huge amount of stand-up, have you?
I do stand-up, Oliver.
You don't post it on Instagram?
I don't really post it because I feel like I'm still kind of cutting my teeth with that. My bread and butter is the sketches, you know, that kind of stuff. So stand-up, I'm still sort of like a raw little pig out there, you know, in the world.
And you play a very kind of sarcastic Mayo man, don't you?
I suppose I kind of do. I don't try to be sarcastic, but it's just a natural sort of, it's my natural position, you know. I'm a kind of dry, I suppose, sarcastic kind of fella generally.
Come here, I know we're hopping all around the place, but this is the Mayo way. How did you meet your one from Argentina?
We met in Dublin in a language exchange. We were both learning English at the same time. Yeah, we met a language exchange in Dublin, so we...
Have you got the Fáinne Uair for Asbuerla? Nearly. She's better English.
She's got better English than me, yeah, definitely, yeah. But, yeah, so we met during a language exchange, yeah. And kind of went from there. We met up a few times, and then on the seventh date, I said, "Do you just want to go for a pint? Knock this language stuff on the head." And turns out her English is much better than my Spanish anyway.
Do you have a bit of Spanish?
I have a small bit. Like, I know I've about 25 words in Spanish, which was awkward when her father came over, because she had to go off to work and it was just me and him in the house watching TV. And I was like, do I put the subtitles in English for him or Spanish? But a lot of pointing happened that day.
Was there? It sounds like he's kind of like a Mayo man as well. They just sit and stare at the television and
he is, yeah. He's,
say
he's
little.
He's a farmer, yeah. So he was big into his farm and stuff. So I actually brought him down to the bog one day and he loved it the first day. And then the second day he was like, I might go back to Argentina.
Do we have to go to the bog again?
Yeah. I think he changed his flights a week earlier to go back to Argentina.
Come here, what sort of gardening? Are you a very serious gardener in the cottage?
It depends on who you're asking, you know, but like I have a brother-in-law who's a great gardener, but I grow carrots, I grow courgettes, and I grow Chinese mustard, would you believe? There's a bit of a kick off that now.
Chinese mustard,
yeah. I picked it up and I was having a midlife crisis in Tesco one day and I picked up some Chinese mustard and I started growing it in the garden and now I put it in every sandwich I have.
So is it kind of what kind of mustard? I've never heard
it's
of China.
It's kind of like spicy sort of, like, it's like rocket times two.
Okay, and it's you grew from seed?
Grew from seed, yeah.
What does it look like? Does it come out in a pod with seeds? Or
it's sort of like the same as... It's kind of like a wider rocket.
All right.
If that makes sense.
This
like,
is very fancy gardening, by the sense.
No, trust me, it's not, because everything else in the garden is dying. You know, everything else I've tried to grow, like...
the root.
Cauliflower, all that sort of stuff, and it died on me. So I said I'd go for the simple sort of stuff, like herbs and stuff, you know?
Yeah, lettuce and scallions.
I
love,
yeah,
when I see your veg garden, you know, where the scallions have gone completely wild.
Yeah.
It looked like, you know, they could actually take over.
Yeah.
And if you ate them, you'd just explode.
You would, of course, yeah. Well, my father actually has garlic grown in the wall of the house.
In the wall?
He just randomly started growing in the wall of the house. There's a little pocket there, but he loves talking about it.
They're just different over here, aren't you?
They really are, yeah. We really are.
I nearly forget to ask you about the Hardy Books. How long ago now is the Hardy Books?
Jesus, I think the last time we made an episode... Well, it's actually back on the BBC Player now in Northern Ireland, but the last time we met it, I think, was 2013, 2014.
Oh, my God, as long ago was that?
It kind of pops up on TikTok a lot, you know?
Unbelievable.
So I don't know, it just kind of has a resurgence every once in a while and maybe a new generation find it.
Oh, I was chatting to an intern in RT. What age would interns be? 21 or 22 maximum? Obsessed with the Hardy Books.
Yeah.
And like he would have been a toddler when it was out and about.
That's it, you see, yeah. Some people are like, oh, I started watching it when I was 10. And I'm like, well, maybe you shouldn't have been. Your parents should have turned the telly off there.
Because we watched it as kind of contemporary documentary of the times post-crash.
Yeah.
And nothing much doing. But if you stayed in Ireland... The life of the Hardy Books.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were thinking when we were creating it. We were like, this is a documentary of what's happening in the country right now. So it's nice that people can watch it and get a bit of a timestamp of that particular time in Ireland. Like,
it was brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
The core of it was it three of you?
There was maybe five of us, I'd say, yeah.
Is it five? It always began because we were kind of doing online YouTube sketches first.
Eddie Durkin and the Viper, they were kind of like knocking around Charlestown recording some sketches and stuff. And then they decided to kind of add in new characters, and then they brought us all in a bit like the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So like I came in and then Michael Salmon came in and different people came in.
I was thinking about this on the way over, like I can't remember whether there was any definitive plot, or I know early on they're trying to get to Ibiza, aren't they?
You know, the YouTube stuff, there was no plot, and in a way that kind of worked better for us. But then when it got onto TV, they're like, you need character arcs and plots, and we're like, what? So that kind of worked against us because we weren't necessarily trained actors, so it didn't make sense to us, you know.
Yeah. But the acting performances are incredible. I watched some of it in The Player, and it's one that you just want to go right through. It's on the RT Player the whole time. And like the acting is so good that when you see the odd poor misfortunate extra who has to do a line, you're going, all right, well, this is actually an acting show.
Yeah, sometimes the acting was a bit too real, though, you know.
It ended up in a film as well.
Yeah.
Did you make money out of that?
Big money, yeah. Yeah,
big money.
I turned up here today in a nice Mercedes. I know. We made, like, over the course of a whole career, like, it's not huge money, but, like, we made a few quid off it, but...
Telly was well paid a little bit, I think, better in those days than it might be now.
It felt like it was well paid because we went from YouTube, which was no pay, to TV, and we're like, we're getting paid to talk rubbish.
Some pay.
Exactly, yeah.
So, in the serious end of the TV series, were there three or four?
There was four episodes and a Christmas special, and then we were lucky to get the movie. We got to go to Poland for the movie, and we kept saying to each other, this is the best holiday ever. And then the producer was like, you're meant to be working, lads, get the script. And we're like, what, there's a script, is there?
Did you write a lot of it down? Some of it looked like you were just making it up.
The YouTube stuff was all improvised, actually. It was 100% improvised. And then because it went on to the telly, RTE were like, well, you need to have a script because we're not just going to give you money and just let you off, you know? So we wrote a script and we're like, there you go. And they're like, oh, that's brilliant. And then we just went and did something else.
There are bits of it. So, some of the kids who've probably never seen the full episodes but have seen the whole thing through clips here and there. There is a 34-second clip that has gone viral every now and again, hasn't it? Where people think this is a real person on a street in Ireland.
Yeah.
Can you describe visually what it looks like you're doing?
I'm standing under a bridge and I've got a T-shirt on with a smiley face. And I'm talking about how I met my father outside a nightclub. And I think in my mind when I was doing it, I was like, if I can make Americans believe this, I'd be happy.
That you
was
were thinking of, that.
That was my logic.
Let's have a listen to it.
Okay. I was in a town before called Langan Village, it was called. And basically there was a young lad and he looked awful similar to me. I thought I was fighting in a mirror, right? Come outside the nightclub, I was like, do I know you from somewhere? And he goes, do I know you? Do you know? And he had a Celtic jersey on, but he had the green and the yellow one, right? And I was about to throw a punch. And then he looked at me in the eyes and I go, do I... He goes, am I your father? I said to him. And he goes to me, am I your son? And we just hugged it out. Turns out that no relation at all. And I just headbutted him and he got taken away. But you know, it goes to show you, people are out there, you could know them.
I'm a great actor.
He's the top actor. So people thought that was real.
People thought that was real.
So mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I was delighted when and every time I see comments on it going, who's this idiot talking rubbish? Or like, what's he on about? Why would he have fought his father, give him a headbutt? And I'm like, bingo. It's a sweetness, you know, I get a sweetness out of it. So yeah, that was kind of what we were aiming for when we were doing the Hardy Books, I think too, that people would believe it.
Do you have other favourite bits that maybe haven't gone viral yet that you sort of think, I want that one to go next?
I like to see like anything that the other lads are in because, you know, it's just nice to see my friends, you know, and being funny. And like, there's a very good clip with the Boo where he's got this weird sort of cigarette device where he pushes down on this little like tiny bird and the far side of the bird kind of a little rolly pops up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a little rolly machine and people are like, where can I get one of those? And we've looked online, nobody seems to know where we can get them. So it seems like there's only one ever in the world.
That was really early on as well, wasn't it?
Really early on, yeah.
I was looking at that going, I wonder where that prop is now.
I know. That's the thing you see. A lot of the props were actually real life props that were like just people had in their day-to-day life.
I assumed you had that now framed somewhere hanging on.
Maybe I do actually, yeah.
You can't say, of course.
Maybe I can remake it and put it on eBay.
Are the Hardy Books ever going to come back?
Hopefully, yeah. We did it like an episode there a couple of weeks ago actually, like a little tester episode.
Very good.
In Callow Lake, which is between Swinford and Foxford.
Oh yeah.
So that was like a little kind of like episode where we're going to be chasing a lake monster. Sort of the cousin of the Loch Ness Monster.
Makes total sense.
Makes complete sense.
That universe.
So kind of going back to the silliness too, you know, what you think is, it's more important now.
There's a massive market. I think it's bigger than it was when you first hit the...
And I think we're more ready for it now too as well in a way. Because back then we had no training. Like the first time we did stand-up together, the five of us went on stage and we did our stand-up together at the same time. So we're telling stories that we're intertwining.
And like, you invented the podcast unwittingly.
Exactly, yeah. Talking over each other, So I think now we're a bit more ready for it, you know. But I think it'd be nice to deal with current topics like, we'll say, mortgages and, you know, having kids and all that sort of stuff, divorce and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Brilliant. Come here, I know you're a poetic mind.
Big time.
And you want to let you go now with this lovely poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one is about Belmullet, is it?
This is about Belmullet in particular.
Bale on Wirrd.
Exacto. Is the scene in Spain?
Owen Colgan, I'm awaiting the top of the lighthouse.
The mullet. God, I'd love to touch your hair. It's not fair the way it flows. And what's that around your nose? A tash, no less. I see you keep it very tidy, like a man doing the shopping on a Friday. Do you mind telling me what product you use? A can of beer. I knew it smelt of booze. And oh God, look at that, right there at the back. A mullet, blowing in the breeze, floating like a sneeze. Jesus, tonight it's some sight. 2 inches of luscious locks. Call the cops, because that can't be natural, pal. Hey, before you go, I'd love to know, do you think a man like me could be so cheeky as to grow my own, a mullet I call home? Wait, I never caught your name. Let me guess. Is it James, Graham, or is it Eamon? No. Derek? Yeah, I thought so. Goodbye then, and take care. I'll never forget the mullet man's hair.
On Phila, Owen Colgan from the top of the observation. Safe driving home now.
Thank you
have
so
a
much,
massive
Oliver.
Trip back to Bohola. Yep. And I was going to think of some Spanish there, but it's done.
Hasta luego.